We continue on our journey through the Sermon on the Mount. Recall, a couple of weeks ago, we began with the reading of the Beatitudes. Our dear Lord said, "Blessed are those who are poor in spirit," and so on. Those Beatitudes are the right attitudes of our being. They tell us the proper spiritual disposition we're called to have in our soul, to have that poverty of spirit, that hunger and thirst for holiness, and so on. And then our Lord said, "You are the light of the world, the salt of the earth." Actually, we have to keep in mind that we're called to live those Beatitudes and therefore be that light of the world, be that salt of the earth. There's an imperative there. Then last Sunday, remember, our Lord began addressing 6 points of the law, 4 of which we dealt with in last week's gospel. Our Lord said he had come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, to bring it into a deeper understanding. The law wasn't meant to be just written on stone tablets, but written on our heart. Not to just govern external things, but internal things as well. So recall how last Sunday we heard Jesus say, "You've heard the commandment, thou shalt not kill." Well, yes, physical killing of an innocent person is wrong, but we could kill someone in our heart through hatred, or someone with our tongue by slander or gossip. Jesus said, "You've heard the commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery." Yes, physical adultery is wrong, but Jesus also said you can commit adultery in the heart, looking at bad pictures, dressing immodestly. Our Lord addressed marriage, and instead of that Pharisaical notion that marriage was a contract that could be broken, a contract between two unequal partners, Jesus said, no, the way God wants it from Genesis is that we have a covenant, a sacrament, a marriage that's between a husband and wife, two equal partners. And then our Lord also said that instead of worrying about what kind of oaths you take, simply, if you mean yes, say yes. If you mean no, say no. Well, now we go on to 2 more points of this law, given that little review. These 2 points that can cause a little turmoil within us have to be understood under the virtue of justice. We're called to be just. Justice is doing what is right in the eyes of God in accord with His truth. We're called as a just person to give what is due to God, like our Sunday worship. We owe that to God. We give what is due to ourselves, taking care of ourselves. We give what is due to our neighbor. And so, therefore, a just person is mindful of doing what is right. Part of the virtue of justice is looking out and addressing needs. If we see a neighbor in need, it would be unjust for us to just ignore that. Justice means helping that person, doing those corporal, spiritual works of mercy. Justice means at times we have to correct someone, discipline someone, maybe even punish for that person's good. But justice must never sink and be destroyed by a desire for revenge or retaliation or even an interior resentment. And that's the point our Lord makes. So think of these precepts, and they really have to be understood in a little bit of a historical context. Jesus said, "You've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." Well, that was meant to actually preserve law, meaning like if someone did something wrong, then that person has to correct it, but the other person, the injured one, shouldn't just go on a vendetta. Like, for instance, if you broke one of my windows, for let's say at the rectory, well, I would expect you to pay for the window and have it repaired. But it would be wrong for me to just go off and break your window, or maybe burn your house down. Would make no sense at all. And then our Lord says, to exemplify this, If someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one as well. Think for a minute. To strike someone on the right cheek, presuming a person is right-handed, meant that person had to use the back of the hand. And that was the highest Jewish insult. So it's not simply a physical action here. It's a matter of an insult. And our Lord says, well, if someone's going to insult you, don't act like a pagan and return insult for insult. Have a higher standard of living. Jesus said, if anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. Well, our Lord's talking to the common person here. Most people had few clothes in those days. A man may have had a set of undergarments, a tunic, maybe two at most, and then a cloak. And that cloak protected someone from the cold, also served as a blanket at night. So if some hard-hearted person sees that in your own little poor means that you have, wants to take your very tunic, but first of all, take you to the Roman pagan court in front of the Roman pagan god or judge that has the statue of the Roman pagan goddess Minerva there, give him your tunic. Give him your cloak. Don't act like a pagan. Don't lower yourself. Jesus said, if someone presses you into service for 1 mile, go for 2 miles. So consider how the Romans pressed Simon of Cyrene into service to help carry the cross. They could press anyone into service. You, Jew, do this. And you had to. Well, you could either resent this and have this hatred within your heart, or he could say, so be it, let's do it, and get it over with, in a sense. And worse yet, if you did so cheerfully, you would conquer the person. So our Lord's saying, don't act like a pagan. Keep up to the higher standard. Because put it all together, if we acted with the retaliation, the vengeance, and the resentment, we'd be creating a scandal. For instance, like after Mass, for instance, that if one of you happened to say something very unkind to the other person, we'd think, shame on that person. But if the other person responded alike, shame, shame, shame on both of them, should we act as a pagan? And our Lord continues and he says, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Well, that's never mentioned in sacred scripture. That's a Pharisaical law. Your neighbor is your good Jew. Anyone else is an enemy. But our Lord says, no, be just to everyone, even the most difficult people, even the Gentiles, even the Romans. Be just, be fair, live by the higher standard. If someone does not like you, if someone is truly an enemy, don't take it to heart, but rather rise above it. Still be just, and pray for that person. That's important. You and I well know we face difficult people. We could allow this resentment enter into our heart, maybe even a hatred at times. But by praying for that person, not saying necessarily, well, dear God, please zap that individual out of my life, but rather just praying for that person or praying for the grace to deal with that person keeps our soul in touch with God, not filled with the resentment, the retaliation, the thoughts of vengeance, and so on. So our Lord calls us to that higher standard, not to act like the pagans, but to live by the higher standard. Put it in a modern perspective. Think of what you would do in these situations. For instance, back in the early 1960s, Dr. Martin Luther King was sitting in a diner, I believe in Tennessee, and he was having a meal with three of his colleagues. Segregation laws had just ended. Just a few months earlier, he would not have been allowed to have a meal in that diner. So he's sitting there talking, and some man came over, and in those days, some of us older folks might remember, they used to have those big sugar canister jars on the table. Well, this man went over to him, used the N-word, we all know what that means, and just took the sugar and dumped it on his head. What would you have done? He just looked up and he said, "God bless you." And the man walked away. Who won? Who won? Dr. King won. Or consider another story. It's not so much that we have the person suing the little person over a tunic these days, but the little person thinking, "I can get rich by suing the big person." Father Scheer and I, during lunch, will oftentimes watch Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And it's amazing the commercials. You know, if you're injured, see Ashcraft and Jarrell. See Mike Slocum. See Jacob and Boscolo, and so on. And it's like, go get the money. If you're injured, you can get the money. Is that justice? I think in my old parish, this goes back to the early 90s. After a baptism, I wasn't present, the assistant was, but after a baptism, grandma, and she's only about in her 50s, and that's my age, but anyway, a grandma, after the baptism, was taking some pictures, and she mindlessly stepped back, fell on a step, or tripped on a step, and fell down, broke her arm. Tragedy, call the ambulance. Of course, the church has insurance. She had medical insurance and so on. We're Christians, right? We're there for the baptism. She sued us. I didn't find out about it till later. She sued the diocese for $70,000. And what scandal that caused, because her family that were parishioners, her son and his wife and so on, never came back to our church. That's acting like a pagan. Yes, justice is one thing, but go get them for some money? Is that how we live in our litigious society? Or another story where I once was at a talk, and it was by a woman, her name was Stella, who had survived Auschwitz concentration camp as a child. She and her family, who lived in Budapest, Hungary, were one day rounded up, put in a boxcar, taken for a week-long trip on train to Auschwitz in Poland, taken off, family separated. Her elderly parents were immediately taken to the gas chambers. She was stripped of her clothing, hair shaved, number tattooed on the arm, given a prison uniform, and she said, "They've taken everything from me. What else do they want?" And she said, she realized at that point, "They want my soul. But I would not give them my soul." Who won? She won. She was pressed into that situation, but she won. So my brothers and sisters, ask yourself, how would you react to these unjust situations? We're called to act by a higher standard of justice. And as St. Paul reminds us, keep this temple we call our soul in union with God, not sinking to the level of the pagan or the unjust person, not giving scandal by our own actions, but apply it one step further. What about the other temple besides our soul, meaning your home, your little domestic church where the Lord is supposed to be Lord? How do you live in your home? How oftentimes with our loved ones, a harsh word is returned with a harsh word. Or for kids, a punch is returned with a punch, a kick with a kick. Or so many arguments occur over petty little things that could just be looked over. Or when children are asked to do something, like clean your room, make your bed, take out the trash, ignore mom and dad, or throw a fit. What if we just followed the gospel message? Wouldn't we have not only greater peace of heart, but peace in our homes too? So our Lord brings this part of the Sermon on the Mount to a conclusion. But we go back to our first passage this morning and remember how the Heavenly Father said, "You're called to be holy as I am holy." And Jesus said, "You're called to be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect." Let's beg for the grace to strive for holiness, to have that hunger and thirst for holiness, to live by the higher standard, then we will be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Then we will have beatitude in our souls right now and beatitude in heaven. May God bless you.